This is, you know, we've been talking a couple of times on identity, and I just really feel it's important in this day and age to know who you are. And with all of the restrictions and with all of the pressure from government and everything else, and we need to know our identity in Jesus. I know we speak about that a lot here, but I know I need to refresh my own memory. And so I share with you this morning. This is actually from John chapter 8, verses 52 and 53. And Jesus is talking to the Jews. And he says, as he talked about being from Abraham. And before Abraham was, I am here, you know, kind of thing. And he says, so at this they exclaim, "Now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say that whoever obeys your word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?" Amen. You know, a number of years ago, when Dr. Jim Richards was here, I remember he shared a few times in regards to, just asked us a question. When you're reading the New Testament, when you're reading the Gospels, and you're reading the parables, and you're reading the stories that Jesus is telling, do you ever wish that, give us some more details here? A few more details would really help get me to understand this. And what he said that, he also mentioned that Jesus always took things from the level of the heart, because originally that's the way it was to be. He's a heart God, and he changes our hearts when we get born again. And but if we're only looking for facts and details, we're never going to get what Jesus is saying. But if we have a heart for what he's saying, we'll probably get it. And I've thought of that many times since. If we really have a heart for what we're reading, we don't need all of the details. And another thing, that's just kind of the way they did things over there. The rabbis and the teachers, they never told you everything. So that you had grasped it in your own heart and in your own spirit. Identity is important. We were watching the news the other night, and they were talking about Stanley Park. And they talk about how they had to close portions of it at the night because the coyotes were attacking people, apparently. What I think is the coyotes were just coming out to get food because some people feed them. Anyways, so they show this happening, and it's like, that's not a coyote, that's a fox. It's like, you don't know your identity. Another thing that comes to mind is our daughter Sarah has not had her place of residence in our home since 1997 when she left. So every time that the guys come around and ask you, "Now, how many people live here and make this their permanent residence?" Two. Every 4 years, they say two. Well, what happens in the mail is this time we get three cards. Sarah's card is in there. And it's like, what's with this? So you do wonder about government sometimes, or all the time, but we're still going to pray for him anyways. Still going to pray for him. Now, here's another thing about identity. How many think that it's important that the queen's identity is proper? Has anybody know what a devil's face is? Any bill collectors out there, coin collectors? Okay, in 1954, the bills came out. They started producing bills again because the ones before that were from 37. And what happened was, and I don't know whether this was done on purpose or it was a mistake, but on the back of the queen's head in her hair was a devil's face. And I just happen to have one here. I'm using the $100 bill because it shows it the best. Now, you can come up after and take a look at them. Jamie's going to have them all in here. But there's a devil's face in there. It's very, very plain. And so it wasn't long that was discovered, and so they took those bills all off the market, and they made it so that she looked a little more decent and not like the devil. So, you know, it's important. Identity is important. Now, if you ever get a hold of these things, they're worth a lot of bucks because there's not many of them on the market because they wanted them all off. And but yeah, identity is important. You know, even in the area, I was reading on holiness this past week. And holiness, as produced in English, comes from many different words in the Greek. It can mean consecration. It can mean purification. It can mean sanctification. It can mean majesty. I'll get it right. I used to know English. And it can mean purity. And if you go into if you go looking through Strong's or whatever you want to go looking through, you'll find that wherever the word holiness is, there's like you on a lot of words, for the Greek number will be the same all the way down. When you look at the word holiness, it's there's all kinds of numbers. And as you look at different things in regards to holiness, you realize the many aspects to holiness of God. And you can't just put it in one word, but the English translators did. Now, I was thinking, who was the most holiest person in the world? Well, it's not your spouse, by the way, or your previous spouse. It is Jesus. Jesus was the most holiest one. Now, how did he affect the people around him? Now, just keep this in the back of your mind. We all want to be like Jesus, right? Okay, so we want the world around us to respond to us the way it responded to him. Well, how did it respond to him? Matthew 11:19 says, "The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." You know, but let's just go one more down. John 8:58. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. At this, they picked up stones to stone him. Here's the question. Jesus attracted sinners and rocks. it was the Jews, the religious people, that wanted to stone him. And it seems that the sinners were the ones who had a heart for what Jesus was saying. Because Jesus spoke from the heart with passion, compassion, and love. The Jews and the religious leaders just wanted him to be as smart as they were and get his facts straight. The result was they missed the whole point. They missed the whole point of him. Now, we need to put that in perspective of our own upbringing and our lives. And it's a challenge. It's a real challenge. How many sinner friends do you have? And who wants to stone us? You know, we met my brother at Leduc yesterday for lunch. And we were talking about our upbringing and how that, because of the way my dad was so judgmental on our relatives, we didn't get to know a lot of them because they just pushed him away. And, you know, and probably there's more of you that were in similar situations. And it's like we want to be like Jesus, but so often it's the sinners that want to stone us. And we're comfortable with religious people. And, you know, I want that to change. I want who was attracted to Jesus to be attracted to me, to be attracted to you. And if the religious leaders want to stone us, I guess they can. But, you know, Jesus was a friend of sinners. And I want to be a friend of sinners. And that's why I'm glad things like Monday morning are starting up again. Because all kinds of different people come in here. And we can have a great effect on their lives for the cause of God, Christ. So who do you think they are? They asked Jesus. And so Jesus says, well, let me tell you. So we'll just go, this is not new to you, but I'm just refreshing your memory on who Jesus said he was. He says, I am the bread of life, so Jesus alone can sustain us. He said, I am the light of the world. Jesus is the original and eternal source of light in the universe. John chapter 8. I am the gate of the sheepfold. Jesus is the only door to life for us who are lost outside God's will. So he's got a number of things that he's claiming to be. And so when they ask him, who do you think you are? As you go through Scripture, you'll find a number of things that he says he is. I am the good shepherd. Jesus knows and cares for us. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the key to escaping spiritual death for us. I am the way, truth, and life. Jesus is the accessible path, the illuminating truth, and the giver of life. And seven, there's probably more, but I got seven. I am the true vine. Jesus is the source of our eternal life. So who do you think you are? I think that's a pretty good resume. Amen. And he's there for you and I. And so we can find ourselves in Christ and find those truths as part of our life. So the question I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to leave it for homework, is who are you in Jesus? And there's many aspects to this. And I believe Shannon had put up there she used to have a list at the back, and it's not hard to find that. You can Google it. But again, our identity is important, and it's good to remind ourselves of who we are in Christ. I was watching a TV, religious TV program a while ago, and the guy was talking about generational curses. And so he said, well, you know, if you get this book, it'll help you to undo those generational curses. And of course, you had to pay money to get it. And I thought to myself, you know, you can save yourself a lot of money just by knowing who you are in Christ. The other passion, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Now, if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new person. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Behold, everything is fresh and new. Now, I know that Shannon and I use this a lot, but that's very, very important. Everything is new. And, you know, we need to claim that. We need to believe that. In fact, that's exactly what the Scripture says here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 13 to 14. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. And so, you know, I think there's the procedure here is the same as it takes for you to get saved. And we can apply that to the promises. It's still the same today. You believe, and when you believe it, you speak it, and then you get to know it as a truth. You get to know it in your heart. That's the way, you know, that Paul said in Romans for us, to believe with our heart, confess with our mouth, we get to know it. Salvation is there. And so I think that's good for any promise, that if we believe it, so often we want to speak it, and we think by speaking it, we'll believe it. But we got to believe it first, speak it, and then we'll get to know it. Amen? All right, will you stand with me? And we'll dismiss you in prayer. Trust this has been encouraging to you, and yeah. Lord, again, I thank you this morning for everyone that's here. We thank you for your blessing upon us. We thank you, Lord, for the times of refreshing we can have in you. We thank you for your word. And Lord, it is our desire today. Who do we think we are? We want to discover new realities in you, Jesus. And we want those realities to become not only in our hearts, but something that we can share with the world. So I pray, just guide each heart and life today. Have your blessing upon each one. Pray for every relationship today. We pray for every person and in their job. We pray for those that need healing today. We thank you for that. If there's a financial need, we are the one that provides in abundance. And again, we look forward to a great, successful week in you. And we give you thanks. Amen.